You're one of the young ones.
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. Born in 1955, October.
You carry your age well.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been hunting?
Since I was 18 years old, that's when I started really trapping and hunting.
After you got out of school?
Yeah. I didn't finish school, but, you know, about half a year before I graduated, I got kicked out of school. But then I started making something of myself, like trapping and hunting.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like best.
You're staying with that?
Yeah.
Do you remember going out with your dad earlier, in the earlier years, when you were growing up?
Only time I remember when I was just going back and forth from the trees, down Huntsport.
Okay.
Pool at Brook area, yeah.
What'd you do down there?
We lived there most of those years.
Did you?
Yeah. We travel up here to buy dog team. Make one trip down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You lived there during the wintertime or summertime or?
Wintertime, yeah. We were kind of wintertime.
Hunted?
My dad hunted, yeah.
He didn't take you out?
He took me out dog team, but I just watched him what he was doing, you know.
You remember those dog team days?
A little bit, just a little bit. I even remember coming up. That's when we used to have an old house right on the edge of that hill over there.
Yeah.
I still remember that.
Okay. So when you started going out hunting at 18, you were really doing it from scratch, like you really hadn't done any before, huh?
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever done it, you know.
You hadn't done any during the summertime when you got off from school?
No, vacations? I mean, I walk a lot, hunting caribou and stuff like that.
Summertime?
Yeah, summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go too far, you know, along this area here.
Is this because you didn't have an ATV, or?
There were no ATV then.
When you were walking around the summer?
Yeah, walking around with my other friends, you know, about the same age.
Yeah.
Walk over to Agmalik area.
How far is that?
About 30 miles.
You walk that far?
Yeah. Make a long relay. You know, you could go in between the valley.
It's a long walk.
Uh-huh. But we made it worth it on our trip.
Mm-hmm. You did hunting then?
Yeah, we did hunting then.
Caribou sheep,
yeah.
When you're going in like that, walking, how do you pack it out?
We got those backports, you know, the old army type backports they used to have.
You carry it on your back?
Yeah. We separate the load, you know,
mm-hmm.
Something like 100 pounds, sometimes 100 pounds.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
That's a weight.
Yeah, we don't leave nothing out there, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just for like the trucks in the sand, we just leave them out.
Yeah. In those days, you used to go out with other people.
Huh?
You used to go out with other people when you went hunting.
Yeah, with young guys like me.
Yeah.
My age.
How about when you go out now? You go out pretty much on your own or with
yeah,
other
I
people
do.
Too?
I go out by myself.
What's changed? Other people aren't available or aren't interested or what?
No, I just don't ask them if they want to come along with me, you know. There's some young people I like to take out, younger than me.
Yeah.
Like some of the people that, you know, like to stay in the village so much.
Okay, they don't go out much.
Yeah, I better take them out, you know. At least for subsistence hunting. Let them get used to the land out there, instead of staying here in town watching TV. That's what I used to do a lot. But then I figured that hunting was better off than watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're working now, and that's primarily to support your hunting, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's pretty expensive.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a machine, you have to have weapons, ammunition.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It costs.
Yeah, it costs. Cost money, yeah.
How about the country? In the summertime when you went out, occasionally, did you ever get into the fog? Or was summertime really pretty good, easy time to travel?
sometimes slope out, sometimes just way above, you know.
Any problems with it?
No, only get right to the ground level, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a problem there. Sometimes, you know, get lost.
During the summertime?
Yeah, I mean in the fog.
Okay.
That's not by walking, but just with ATV.
How do you get lost in the summertime with ATV?
Well, it's in the flat country up there.
Okay, when you're going north?
Yeah, uh-huh. I think that place already.
Places that you don't, you hadn't been before, or that it's just difficult?
Places
to...
I haven't traveled during the, like, summertime, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But wintertime, no problem.
Now, what's the difference between summer travel there and winter travel?
No, summertime, everything is just the same. I mean, like in the flatland up there.
Okay.
Yeah, but in the wintertime, I could, you know, I study. Every time I go out, I study these places, you know, in case they may be of use to me. Like if I'm walking home,
yeah,
I'll recognize that spot right there, and show me where to go.
It's easier to recognize things during the wintertime, though, when it snows out there, huh?
Yeah. I don't know, for me it is, you know.
Okay, okay. No, more often I've had people tell me that it's easier in the summertime in terms of what they can see. They can see more because in the wintertime snow covers everything.
Yeah, but here I just studied a hill.
When you started going out by yourself, that was pretty new country for you.
Yeah, it was, uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you remember much about how you went out there trying to learn the country so you were able to come back?
Yeah, I just take off, you know, just driving or looking around, you know, recognize this and that.
There are certain kinds of things you try to recognize. What kinds of things? Like?
Like hills and, you know, hills and creeks, all that.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever look back?
No, I just concentrate on
going out
and on the way back. I
concentrate on going back.
Yeah, pretty good. I go the same way.
Okay, there wasn't any problem getting back the same way.
No problem.
Okay, that's when you're going north.
Oh, here, close by.
Or
here.
All around here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't traveled up north summertime. I mean.
Okay. Have you gotten to learn the names of the places around here?
Not that much. Not like my dad, you know. He knows about. I know all these here in the mountain area, but not out there.
Okay. How about the names down John River Valley?
Yeah, I know those. Pulatuo.
Because you've been down there.
Yeah, Masu. And I know over at Killick area, the Nigu and the April River, May Creek, Sulupat, Suluk, you know, all those.
Okay.
I've been trapping over there for like 5-6 years.
Okay, how do you know the names of those things? Who do you learn them from?
I looked up in a map.
Okay, you used the map for that.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I asked questions to my dad, like, you know, how they pronounce them and stuff like that.
Okay. Why do you think the names are important?
I don't know, I guess it's for us, you know, from the older people that are named, and it goes to us, and we know where exactly we may be.
Okay. Are you able to recognize the places easier if you know the names?
No, I just recognize the places and I see them, you know.
How you say, so you if you were talking to your dad, you tell him where you were in terms of saying a name.
Tell him, you know, what the figure of that place, and then he'd probably know where I was, you know.
Do you speak Inupiaq well?
Most of the time I speak, you know, technically.
English?
Yeah.
Okay.
But when it comes to older people, I speak Eskimo.
Okay, there's no problem with that.
There's no problem.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think of some of the names of the places that are out there. Sometimes the names mean things that make it easier to recognize what it is that's out there.
Those Eskimo names, you know, like places where I've been, I never get what they mean. I mean,
you never think of it in those terms. Just that's the name. That's it.
Yeah, I just know the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, it would have been good if I asked my dad, and you know.
Has he ever encouraged you to ask him or talk about those things when you go visit with over there? Does he ask you where you've been hunting?
No, he just asked me where I'm going. That's all he likes to know, where I'm going, make sure I make it back the same day.
Okay, yeah. That's because they search and rescue in case you don't come back.
Yeah. But he knows exactly where I'm going.
Okay. Let's talk about the things that you use. When you go traveling in the wintertime, do you always go to the same places time after time?
Yeah, I've been traveling for quite a few years in the same areas I used to trap when I was 18 years old.
Okay, where do you travel? North, south, east, west? Where's your travel line?
North, south, east, west.
All over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Over at Unaktiktok River.
Yeah.
And over at Okomonad River. And over at Killick area.
Killick, okay.
Yeah.
How about south and John River?
Oh, not that much, like two traps or so, you know.
Okay. How many traps do you have totally?
I have about 30-something out right now.
Okay, that's not bad. How long does it take you to service those?
If I'm not working, I could do them like I go Tuesday for one trap line, you know, and leave that for another week, and I go to the next place, you know, day after day.
Okay.
And that way, the following Tuesday, I could go check those traps over there. I just rotate them around.
Okay. Do you mark the traps at all so you can find them, or you know pretty well where they're at?
No, I know exactly where they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've got approximately how many?
About 34 traps.
About 34 traps, okay. That's a lot of places to remember, but you don't have any problems?
No problem.
Coming back to them, okay.
Yeah.
You got those out pretty much during the trapping season, which is what, about December to April?
Start trapping like last part of October.
That early?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's open season for trapping. Only if there's a lot of snow, you know. Mm-hmm. Depends on what the river situation is out there.
You wait until the snow comes in before you put your traps out.
Yeah.
Do you have any problems getting around in that country when sometimes the weather comes up? Because, you know, storm situations, whiteouts, things like that.
Yeah, I do.
What kinds of problems? Can you remember some specifically?
Well, like, if it's like a cloudy day, you know.
Yeah.
When I go out on a cloudy day and I study the wind on this valley here, on how strong it is,
mm-hmm.
But there's times I make mistakes.
In what sense?
Like when I go out from here, it's, you know, kind of windy and cloudy.
Yeah.
And I think, my dad always tell me that, you know, watch out for the Chandler. Chandler's always got a stronger wind than here.
Okay.
And I had that in mind, but you know, then I had to talk anyway. But when I got out there, it was just like what he said.
Okay, in other words, what he was saying is if it's blowing over here, it's likely to be even worse over there at Chandler.
Right, that's how it is. And I don't think he's wrong about that. I found that out already.
Okay, you had some traps down Chandler area?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Why is wind a problem?
And you mean?
When you're traveling, yeah.
Well, no, I just like to travel in nicer weather.
Okay.
Not blowing snow, because I go fix my trap and it's blowing snow, you know, it'll cover right back up anyway.
It makes it difficult, yeah.
Uh-huh. Makes it difficult for the next week or something.
Mm-hmm. You've been caught probably out in a whiteout at times, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being out in a whiteout, like up in north, it's a lot of problems to the snow machine and the driver, also the driver, because you can't see right in front of me, it's clear, it's just white.
Yeah.
And there's times that I just park right there.
Okay.
Have some coffee or look at the weather.
You carry a stove with you?
Huh?
You carry a stove with you?
No,
a thermos?
I sometimes carry a thermos, yeah.
Okay.
But I depend on the woods.
Ah, okay, you make a fire.
Yeah, fire with kettle and coffee.
Okay. Do you carry a tent with you?
No, I carry a tarp. Only when I'm going out camp, they carry me a tent.
Okay, so you can put the tarp up in an emergency if you had to,
yeah,
and make a tent out of it.
It's slept too, you know.
Okay.
But there's a lot of times I make myself a snow house out there.
You do?
Yeah.
You put up snow blocks and...
I just find a, you know, like a little cliff. So I just use my knife and just make a little...
Dig into it.
Place to relax, you know.
Okay.
Put some twigs on there, make them a little... where it's nice and warm.
That's a pretty traditional way to do it.
Yeah, I did that many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, all through those years I've been trapping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be out there for 3 days, you know. No food, no water.
You sort of stay out there until the weather clears up.
Oh, when my snow machine breaks down, I stay out that long.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised because if your snow machine breaks down, I would have guessed they'd have the search and rescue out looking for you.
Yeah, but there's times that turn off towards my destination, you know.
So they're not sure where you'd be.
Yeah, sure they had to look around.
Okay. So occasionally what'll happen is there'll be a whiteout storm, you'll have to stop.
Uh-huh.
You tend to stop when there's a whiteout where you can't see where you're going?
I have to stop.
Okay.
Know.
Because you don't... what happens if you keep on going?
So many trail out there that you don't know what you're going to hit or, you know, go down.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing
for... Okay, the safest thing is to stop, which is good.
Uh-huh.
That's the safe thing
yeah.
to do.
I need to go down the 20 feet down, you know, and you think it's straight. That's how it is out there.
Have you ever done that?
Maybe once, twice.
Yeah, I've known some people to do that, and it's a little frightening.
Not that far down, though, maybe like 5 feet, you know.
Yeah.
And your stomach goes up, and you're like, wow.
Yeah. I've bounced a little bit in the sled, but not on the snow machine. I don't know whether it's better or worse.
Yeah.
You ever found yourself going in circles, traveling in circles?
Yeah, I did. Just about maybe 2 weeks ago.
What happened?
Well, me and my buddy was in Channel River, you know.
Yep.
It was foggy. It was real low fog, like about just about 500 feet above the ground, you know.
Pretty thick too.
Yeah. So we caught, you know. And you're going to head straight from Chandler all the way over to this valley right here, an activity valley.
Yeah.
So I let him out, you know, I was leaving. So we took off from our spot, and, you know, as we went along, we start turning in a U-shape. It was a long U-shape. So we hit this river again, and me and him was wondering. I told him that this is the other river. And he said, no, we're right back where we are.
He recognized it.
Huh?
The
other guy recognized it.
Yeah,
so we traveled along the river for a while. And I saw this one horn, you know. That one whole trip horn. Four horns.
Hmm.
Huh. We're on the same track as we were before. So I stopped and I talked to my friend. Yeah, you were right. We did go back to our trail. And that's really easy to get lost in low fog like that.
Yeah.
On the snow machine.
What'd you do then?
Well, we just go back the way we came in. I mean, we were going to go make a round, you know.
Okay, you're going to go around.
Yeah,
so instead you backtracked.
Uh-huh. So we went back. When we hit our snow machine track, again, we had to take our trail back to the village here.
Okay, is the track, the trail easy enough to follow when you're backtracking?
Uh-huh,
like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think of other situations where you got to turning in circles, or is that sort of rare?
Kind of think there for a while, you know, have some coffee and wondering how we did that.
Mm. Did you figure out how you did it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
He was just something that just got me just like that, you know.
Yeah. Who was leading?
I was.
He was following.
Willie.
I mean, he was following you, though.
Yeah, right behind me.
And he didn't really have the sense that you were going around in a circle until he saw that creek again.
Yeah, no, he stopped. He stopped up there, you know. He said, hey, we're going the wrong way, you know. We're going right back to Willie. He said, no, Willie, we're going the right way. And pretty soon we're going to hit a river, you know.
Did he say why he thought you were going back the other way?
I guess it was a wind that kind of get them.
Okay. Yeah. Are you sensitive to wind?
Here and there, yeah. I mean, I could do it by myself, but not going sideways. I mean, sideways across from Chandler to here. Kind of like switch your own wind.
Yeah, but you don't normally try to keep tabs on the wind, do you? Are you sensitive to where the wind is direction to know? Like, for example, with your friend, that he said, look, the wind's coming from the wrong direction. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you said, oh, the wind is in a different direction, I must be going the wrong way?
Yeah, me and him was kind of, you know, not arguing, but, you know, we were kind of back and forth there for a while.
Yeah, but have you ever been sensitive to the wind like that?
Yeah, uh-huh. Normally, when I leave here, I find out which way the wind is coming from.
Yeah.
And, like, if it gets real bad weather and stuff like that, you know, I just...
Yeah. No, I was thinking more of the wind to use as an indication of direction that you're going. So that you know if it's blowing one way...
Oh, up in a flat land, I don't really... know about the wind, because it's going, there's all kinds of east, west, east wind.
It goes a lot of different directions.
Yeah, up there, yeah.
Okay.
Not like here, we only got like north wind, south wind.
Okay.
Hardly east and west. You know.
Okay, but even with a north wind and south wind, sometimes you're going with a north wind and all of a sudden the wind changes.
Yeah. That I'm not aware of.
You're
know.
Not sensitive to it. Yeah, okay. How about north? Are you sensitive to snow drifts?
No, but I just learned something last week went up to North Texas.
Okay. A lot of people have been learning about that.
Yeah, because they told me that the snow drifts aren't like the snow drifts here.
Yeah. How are they different, they say?
Well, the snow drifts heading north from there, I mean, up in the flatland,
yeah.
They go strictly towards Brutal Bay area instead of going straight toward Lake Barrow.
Okay, why did you think it was different?
Well, that's my first time up there. I just traveled.
Okay. Did you think that they would be like they are over here, north and
south?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Okay. That's what I was thinking. So we followed them, you know, and pretty soon we find out we were in the wrong direction.
Which group were you going with?
With Raymond.
Okay.
Patrick.
Yeah, he was saying, I spoke with him, he said that they seem to be going that direction. He was surprised at that too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think they're going north and south and you follow them, parallel to them,
yeah, we almost
you're going to end up at Fruita Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did you discover that you were going the wrong way?
I didn't until I hit down to the, you know, flat area.
Okay.
Not the high area.
And you recognized you were in a different place?
Yeah. It was... I know the snow just caught me that time, you know.
Yeah.
If, like, somebody like my dad or somebody told me about those up there, the snow just, they're different from here, I would have learned that a long time ago.
Yeah, but nobody told you that.
Nobody told me, no.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And heading out west, it's just, you know, all them snow drifts.
Then you're going across snow drifts. How high were those snow drifts? Do you remember? Foot, 2 feet, 3 feet?
Some of them are like 2 feet. Some are kind of small.
Okay, but they're pretty big.
Yeah.
That's rough driving as
yeah,
well.
About, yeah, I don't know how many hours we've been driving like that, you know. Quite a few of them.
That's rough also on the snow machines.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's one of the reasons why up in Barrow and Wainwright, what they do is they drive Polaris's.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have an independent suspension on the skis.
Yeah.
And they seem able to take it a little bit better. Yeah. When you came back, did you have an easier time?
Yeah, I had easier time. I find an easier route, which my friends take me from Nurset.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me exactly which way to go. And the name of this, the drilling rig and the rivers, you know. I've never been that far.
Okay.
Never.
So that when you came back, there was no problem.
No problem.
And probably you went back again later then, didn't
yeah,
you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I remember that Mark mentioned
uh-huh.
you were going up
and
there
to
get the machine.
That second trip, we went back to Horace, we made our first mistake.
Okay.
Over to the Itkalik River.
When you crossed it.
Huh?
When you crossed the Itkalik River.
Yeah, when we crossed the Itkalik River. I saw where we went.
Mm-hmm.
We went kind of like, you know, this way.
Did you start following the snow drifts almost just after
when
you crossed
it? Yeah, we should have gone this way, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you sensitive at all to where the sun was? Sun
yeah,
position?
I studied the sun. I mean, you know, I used the sun a few times.
Okay, for direction.
Yeah, way up north, mountains for out of range.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, if I'm out there all night long, you know, and I wait till morning,
mm-hmm.
and I know the sun will face. I mean,
come up in the
east.
Did you notice the sun at all when you were going north to Nooksit?
Yeah, on the back side of me, I'm climbing up that way, right? In the sun
okay.
here, yeah.
Okay, so that you knew at least you were on the right side of the sun.
Uh-huh.
Was there any moon up there then?
No. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Were you traveling at night at all?
No, during the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
You stopped at night, or was it all just daylight when you traveled?
Daylight.
You made it all in one day?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long trip.
Yeah. Oh, we stopped on the Akhalil and we hope
okay.
it's that cabin down there.
Okay, so you had an overnight stay. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times when we turn, I'm facing the sun, you know, like I'm heading back south.
Yeah.
And there's, like, just straighten out again. Just turn my back on the sun, you know.
Okay. Now, with the sun, do you just automatically accommodate for the fact that the sun is moving? Because, you know, the sun doesn't stay in one place, but it's
mm-hmm.
sort of moving around.
Yeah, it's moving around, yeah.
Okay, you adjust for that?
Mm-hmm.
But when the sun is there, you can use it for direction as well.
Uh huh.
How about the moon?
The moon.
Do you ever travel at night?
I travel at night, yeah.
When do you travel at night? During the winter time?
Yeah, winter time. Mm-hmm.
Coming back from traps or?
Yeah, trap line overnight. Go stay there a few days.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like cloudy day and blizzard, kind of blizzard, I use the moon for. For my direction.
Okay, you sort of orient on the moon.
Uh-huh.
And, it moves a little bit, but you sort of adjust or what?
Uh-huh, yeah. I kind of, you know, see, I kind of get close to my, where I'm going, you know.
In a general
Even if
way.
I'm a little bit off, it helps me a lot, you know. At least I know I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah. Does it usually provide you enough light at nighttime to be able to see pretty well?
I've got headlights on, you know.
Okay, so you depend on the headlights.
Uh-huh.
You follow trails at nighttime when you're traveling, or?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
only
not
trail.
A problem.
I don't turn off anywhere, you know.
Okay, so at nighttime you'll only travel when there are trails
uh-huh.
to follow.
Yeah.
Okay. You ever notice, do you ever turn off your lights at night when you're traveling?
Here and there.
Okay.
And it's hard to see the trail.
Okay. But I've heard some people say that when they turn off the lights, they can see pretty well all around them. They can
yeah,
see the
around
mountains.
Them, yeah. Uh-huh.
And, but then you're right, then you don't see the trail, and if you're following a trail, it becomes a bit more difficult.
Yeah, I had a hard time. It was about 2 months ago. My light turned out in that valley.
Did it?
From Canada, yeah. I stood around for about 3 hours waiting for rescue to come around, you know. So they didn't show up for like 12. But I was going like, 50 miles now.
You went slow.
Real slow, yeah.
What was the night like? Was it pretty dark or?
I think that trail there, you know, it's kind of, you could see how it goes.
Okay, that means what you see sort of hills or ridges?
Willows like, you know, on both sides.
You okay, so you
trail.
Can follow it with the willows?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. And there's enough light from the sky to be able to
uh-huh.
see the snow in front of you?
Yeah. Sometimes I go up through it, but I turn and hit through it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of dangerous there too, you know.
Was there any moon out?
No moon.
You look up and see any stars?
Yeah, just stars was out, yeah.
You ever learned anything about stars?
I know the Big Dipper, and I know star.
Okay.
I always go by the Big Dipper.
How do you go by the Big Dipper? Tell me about that.
I don't know, it stays in one place.
Yeah?
The Big Dipper don't move around, you know.
It does?
It stays in one place, like, when I go up north,
yeah,
I use that very point, you know, there's a point of a point rear left corner point?
You got the dipper and then you got the handle.
Yeah, I used that point of that tipper.
The last...
Yes.
Yeah.
How it is, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
I use that. Coffee jar? That one there.
You?
Coffee.
Sure. Do you have any tea?
No.
He can make some tea, sure.
Yeah, no. Coffee is a little hard in my stomach.
And tea?
What?
Put it in the thermos, make tea, hot water. Yeah, I use this right here.
Okay, how do you use that? You sort of just guide on that star there?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Now,
like up north, I use that as many times I use it. I know it's just there.
It's always in the same place.
It's always in the same place every time I go north.
That's a little strange because actually, through the night, you'll see the whole dipper turns around. Sometimes it's setting like that, sometimes it's upside down, sometimes on its side.
Yeah, I know. See, I just see it the way it, you know.
But you always see it the same way when you're
going. Yeah, every time I go out.
That's interesting.
I mean, anywhere when I go out.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I always use that.
And you use it, it's always to the north of you?
Huh?
Is it to the north of you?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Do you know how to find the pole star from the Big Dipper?
The what?
The polar star, and the...
Oh, no, I knew.
You don't know the pole star? Polaris?
No, just...
It's the star that points to the north.
That big one over here? The one we see every night?
No, that's a slightly different one.
That's a private one, isn't it?
Okay, that's the one on the horizon?
Yeah.
Do you use that? Do you?
Yeah, because it's always on the right side.
Okay. Okay, so you use those anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that big tipper helped me somehow. I mean, I'm always traveling right time.
And that's when you're...
When I'm up north.
When you're up north,
yeah.
You can see that. Uh-huh. Do you ever look at the stars when you're down the mountains?
No, I only look at the big tipper, that's about all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's one time I used the sunshine too, there was when me and Nessie went out, because we were up north, you know, and I'm trying to hit the trail, and we're off the mountain range. So that one early morning, that sunshine popped out from the west, east side.
Yeah.
Right towards, you know, it must be about like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Morning,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to keep on, when I'm coming up from the north, I try to keep on the right side of the sun.
Okay.
To hit the our valley here.
Yeah.
And I just keep on traveling.
That's good for guiding on,
then. Yeah, and there's the valley right here. You know, if that sun wasn't there, you know, I would probably gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get mixed up north really easy.
A lot of people can do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trapper.
Have you? Do you remember having been in situations where you've gotten so far off that you've had to sort of go exploring around a little bit?
Yeah.
Way back.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I backtrack my trail, or when there's like 2-3 of us, you know, out there. We've done that before.
Where have you gone when that's been a problem? Up north?
Up north, yeah. North is the main place to get lost. I mean, during the night and it's foggy when it's snowing, you kind of lose your trail and you don't know where the hell you're at, you know.
Yeah. How about when it's clear?
When it's clear, you can get, you know, lost easy too up there.
Because it's a place you don't know too well.
Yeah.
It sort of looks the same.
Get to hit a snow machine trail or a river, you know, you kind of recognize.
There are probably a lot of creeks and rivers out there.
Can
you tell them different? Are they different one from the other, or sometimes they're a little different, sometimes they're
not? Some of them, I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 main rivers from our river here,
yeah,
all the way west. 4 main rivers sitting north. And there's a lot of little creeks that flow towards the big river from the west side or east side.
How do you keep track of those things? Do you sort of count them? Okay, this is the first river, that's the second river, that's the third river, or do you
depend on? I pass by them, yeah. I try to recognize them.
You try to remember how many you've gone by?
Uh-huh.
Do they look different, one from the other, or they look pretty
some
much the same?
Some of them look identical to each other. I mean, they're the same, you know? And that's a little problem there if you don't go back.
So that's part of what the problem is.
Away from your trail, yeah.
Probably it's just going to be a matter of time when you come to recognize it more.
Yeah.
But you've been going up there for a while.
As I keep going along, it'll be something I recognize. Something.
Are there some kinds of things you look for that are easier to recognize than other kinds of things? Do you look for shape, or are you looking for,
for
rocks?
Uh-huh.
Or?
Yeah. I look for shapes. Like when I'm going down that way, I look like I said, I look when I'm driving on both sides. Just make sure. In case I get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you said, in case I see it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Right away, keep going. You see the mountains and stuff, you know.
Do you tend more often to go around in circles, or do you tend to come back and essentially reverse yourself when you're coming back from a place?
I just come straight. I mean, I don't try to go around looking to see where I am because of my fuel shortage, or, you know. Like I could come straight toward from north, I could come straight down south toward the mountains, but you know, I probably would have missed a valley here.
Yeah.
But at least I'm in the mountain range, you know.
Yeah.
And
do you find yourself, I guess I asked you that before, you don't really look back to see what the country looks like going the opposite direction, huh?
I look at it when I'm coming back.
Yeah. Because a lot of people will do it that way. That means in effect they know how to come back because they look and see what it's like looking back. They'll go there and then sort of turn back and get a sense of what the appearance looks like. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a lot different.
Yeah.
I remember I went down Hunts Fork, and going down was one thing, and in terms of the kinds of things I saw, I was sitting in the sled, but coming back, it looked just completely different.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it just wasn't recognizable in the same way. But that's sort of a kind of technique that you learn or you feel comfortable with, but sometimes not. Do you ever use a compass?
No, I never did.
Mm-hmm.
I needed one last week.
Did anybody have a compass with you?
No, they had a map. They had a map with them.
They did have a map?
Yeah. But Raymond said, no, we don't need a map. There's my map.
Okay, so you didn't even use
it. That's where we kind of messed up there.
Do you usually take a map with you when you go out?
No.
Can you read a map easily?
Yeah. I had a map, but I lost that. You know, I marked out all my trap lines, my trap.
You marked them on the map?
Yeah, okay. I mark my trail. Or next morning, like if I'm going somewhere else, I just mark it out and just leave it with my dad. He knows exactly where I'm going.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you lost that?
Huh?
Did you say you lost that map, though? Or?
Yeah, I got it around town somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. This is where all over where I went. I mean, these mountains there.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that now helped me a little bit. I don't take it along with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going up north, I would, you know.
It's the north country that's really the mess of your country.
Really complicated for me up there, yeah.
Okay. What's it like traveling in the mountains?
Traveling in the mountains, I've been through every valley, every which side, east and west side of the mountains.
This is so you can look for, what, wolves?
Wolves,
wolverines?
Yeah, uh-huh. I've gone through a lot of places where people have never been before.
Okay, that's got to be a nice feeling, isn't it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Typically when you go in, are you keep on going over a ridge, or do you have to come back the same way you went in?
If you can't make it over the ridge, then you can't make it, you know. But if you could go over, you just keep on going.
Now, how do you handle when you go over the ridge and keep on going? You know where you're going to come out?
Not really, no.
How do you manage
that? But
that's
something I just want to learn, you know.
Okay.
I thought I might be traveling it that way again.
So you go over the ridge and
just go, like, come out to another valley.
Yeah.
Just go like that.
And then sort of look around and try to figure out where you're at?
Uh-huh.
And you're pretty successful with that?
Yeah.
Not having problems with that?
Yeah.
Now that's something that a map would be useful for, though.
Uh-huh, yeah. But to me, up in the mountains...
It's not a problem.
Not a problem. I kind of know I'm close by or sometimes way up there, you know.
Do you have any problems with the snow machine in terms of going upslope, or is it pretty good, pretty powerful?
It's pretty powerful, yeah.
That's not usually a problem.
No problem at all.
How about going down?
Going down? I got no brakes on mine, there's a little problem there.
How do you handle when you've got a slope that's down? I've heard that sometimes it's easier to go up than it is to come down.
Yeah.
I've heard somebody say that you can go up a slope you can't come down on.
Yeah, some of them, this. Straight down like that, you know.
Yeah.
You might have to find another way to go down. But when you go down a hill that high, you'll be gaining power. Speed.
Yeah.
Your brakes can't even work.
There's no way to gear it down like a car.
Huh? No.
What do you do?
Get out. Yeah.
You start a little praying.
Huh?
You pray a little bit.
Ready to jump out, yeah.
Because sometimes that can be messy.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times when I travel forward, you know,
yeah,
and I come to a big ridge, and I climb that, and there's another one way down, you know.
Yeah.
And I come to that point where I can't go back up with a snow machine.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you don't have any alternative. You have to keep on going.
Keep on going down. And that's where I got my machine still over in Westside. Right in the canyon,
mm-hmm.
Where I left it, I had no place but to go down the valley. I hit it was a cliff on one side, right?
Yeah.
Hit a snow that goes down like that.
And you couldn't get up that?
No, I went
you
down.
Went down?
I was going down to find another trail because I couldn't make that big hill there on the mountain. So I followed the creek and I wrecked my machine there.
You wrecked it?
Yep. I left it over there too. And I walked for like 2 days. Almost 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning they found me. Yeah, they've been seeing before I've been laying down, you know.
Yeah.
Putting wood for my bedding and stuff, you know.
Okay, but you handled that well. It didn't discourage you from going out to similar type places, huh?
Mm-hmm. I try to be prepared, even if I don't have like no coffee, no grub or anything, you know. And
that's taking a fair risk, though, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a lot of times I thought I might, you know, travel close by.
Yeah.
But then I break down out there somewhere.
And you're further out than you expected.
And it's one more thing I learned. Every time I don't carry like a thermos bottle or snacks, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I go way out there, my snow machine breaks down. A lot of times I did that.
You can predict that, huh?
Yeah. That's why every time I start going out, I make sure I got food and coffee, you know.
And sure enough, you don't break down.
And sure enough, I'll come back here. But I did that a hundred times, yeah. Yeah. Every time I don't carry nothing, you know, to eat, munch on, and drink.
Yeah.
I'm out there sitting around waiting for rescue. Or walk. I walk at night anyway, you know. And a lot of times at night, I could recognize a place, you know.
It's bright enough, it's light enough, you can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk back at night,
uh-huh.
if you have to walk back.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll walk like about 12 hours, 13 hours during the day, between turn night, you know.
Okay, why are you walking at night rather than during the day?
You got no choice, you know, like you're coming home and you break down.
Yeah.
Yeah, before it's night.
So you can just keep on walking and there's no problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just so long as there's no wind and you can handle that.
Uh-huh. 2-3 days, but I was out there by myself one time.
Yeah. Do you feel anxious in situations like that, or you just feel pretty sure you're going to make it and come back? No problem.
I got a lot. I I make it. I know I'll make it, you know.
You're not worried, really?
I'm not worried, no. I got it. One above me, looking down on me, you know.
Okay, it's sort of an interesting kind of thing. You know you're out there. At, it's pretty cold out there, but you'll do it.
I'm always, every time I start walking, I always say I'm not alone, you know. Just walk, you know.
Yeah. Okay. How about travel in the woods? Do you ever do any travel in the woods?
Like the tree line, or?
Yeah, when you get down the tree line and there are woods down there.
I went down to Fort Cameron, yeah.
Any special problems in that?
No problems, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
You take your snow machine in the woods?
Inside the trees I do sometimes.
Trees, yeah.
But you get it.
It's turn. Difficult in that sense. Yeah. Especially if you're carrying a sled as well with it.
Oh, yeah. Do you
ever have to break trail first?
No, just drive right through, unless there's somebody behind you, you know. You see a trail forming with the sled.
Okay, so the snow never gets really that soft that you can't travel through it.
It don't get that soft. I mean, right now it's real soft, you know. Can't go anywhere in the trees.
Okay, so you sort of stay out of it in certain seasons.
Yeah, stay near the river.
Well, think a little bit about the places that you avoid that are difficult places or dangerous places when you're traveling. Say when you're out in the mountains, are there some places you just don't go to or go by because there are problems?
Yeah, there's a lot of places around here that my dad tells me about not to go to or you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I started traveling with a snow machine, he told me these lakes, you know,
yeah,
all these lakes and rivers that you cannot go through. And I keep that in mind. That's why I stay away from the rivers.
Did he tell you where they're at, or he name them for you, or how does he tell you about them?
He showed me Tuluak Lake, Chandler, Chandler. And Ectubic River, just over here. And let's see, over Anaktuwarak, those rivers there.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me there's places that just like snow on top, but a lot of water on the bottom, you know. Yeah.
Is there some way he told you that you can tell when you can travel on it or when you can't travel on it?
No, I just stay out. I mean, I know,
off it.
I know when it's pretty good. Because I've traveled through there before,
yeah,
and I travel there both. And but when I see a glacier, you know, I just get off to the side.
Okay.
And I don't want to go to where I want to end up underwater.
Yeah. How about avalanche country? Snow.
Avalanche. I had that happen to me two times in my time.
You did.
Yep. There's that little valley right up there.
Yeah.
Behind you see that little mountain right in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, right behind there, coming down with snow machine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, you were going on the other side of that?
Yeah, just coming down through the creek. I mean, it happened way up there.
Yeah.
And, you know. Somewhere in the corner of my eye, I saw the snow moving, you know. And my snow machine was on it. So I just put on full throttle, you know, to hit the side of the mountain, get high enough so I could get that snow bass, you know.
Okay.
Otherwise, if I didn't catch it to the corner of my eye, I would have probably been under there.
Yeah, take it now.
I was riding on that thing for a little bit.
It's like riding waves.
Yeah.
What was the other time?
The other time was right in Malik area, right behind here, mm-hmm. Little contact. That one was a scary one. You know, it's coming down to a creek, mm-hmm. And there's a big ridge, snow ridge that, you know, come down.
Yeah.
So with that vibration, I think from the snow machine started out. Boy, that thing was coming down like crazy. And right under me, it just started to move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I put up my engine and I went.
Jumped off again.
Yeah, I went right up to the mountain, you know. It's like a V shape. You know, I just I'm not the other one. I stopped right in the ground, put my brakes on, just watched that thing go all the way down.
You went up the other slope, in other words. You went down one side and up the other side?
Yeah, I stopped right there, right in the ground, and just watched that snow go down. That thing was going pretty fast.
Yeah. Okay, you've been lucky with that.
Yeah, I've been real lucky. I'm not even supposed to travel, you know, I mean, in the snow banks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You try generally to avoid snow banks like that?
Yeah, on the mountains, yeah.
Why were you on them?
Just learning the trail, I guess. I mean, I didn't know it would happen, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at this point now, if you saw something like that, you'd sort of recognize and recognize what it's like, and you wouldn't go there?
I'll go the other way.
Okay, what is it you see that you look for to know that it's not the place to go? When it's at a certain angle?
Yeah, it's just like that hill right under school there.
Yeah.
You know how those big cliffs go right over?
Yeah.
Over that kind. It's right in that hill over there.
Yeah, and where it's undisturbed, where
yeah,
it doesn't
right
take
where, yeah.
Is there a certain season that it's more common than other seasons, or it can happen any time of the winter time?
It could happen any time, winter time, yeah.
Okay.
Spring, I don't know. I haven't seen. I'm sure it's happening right now, you know.
Yeah, as the snow gets wet, I think.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever find caribou up that high, or sheep up that high? In terms of, you know, whether you'd go hunting and all of a sudden the snow goes out from under you, because sheep at least will tend to
be
high.
Yeah. I've never tried to go hunt way up high.
Okay.
They were up higher than that, so leave them alone. Hard time coming down, that's the problem, you know, with the load.
Yeah. Well, why is it hard coming down with a load?
Especially even if you've got brakes, you know. I mean, you've got to either kind of go that way.
You zigzag across the slope. In other words, if you go up hunting and you get a load on your sled, it's giving you more weight and it's harder to.
Yeah, that load push your snow machine forward.
Too faster than it should be going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How else do you get down the animals, though? Could you just let them roll down?
Yeah, we let them roll down. Yeah, during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
From the mountain.
Okay,
maybe.
But not when the snow's out there.
No.
Then they make a great big snowball.
Yeah.
<go down.
laughs> Yeah. You either skin them right there, you know.
Yeah.
You could skin them right where you are.
Yeah. How about summertime places that you avoid? Because they're too difficult, too dangerous, or something like that. Any time, any place in the summertime that's a problem?
No, not to me. Because there's nothing to be afraid of. Because there's no snowfall. I mean, falling down and all that.
Okay.
Yeah. No avalanches, no nothing.
Is that when you're walking or when you're on your ATVs?
ATV, it's kind of dangerous out there. I mean.
Why?
It's slopey. I had my Argo flipped over twice on me already.
Did it really?
Okay. Yeah. My reverse broke on there is what happened, you know. So I started home like that. It's going down the slope.
Yeah.
And bridging, you know. Couldn't go nowhere, just hold my brakes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her to get off. And I couldn't take it down. Fair enough. Let's go.
That means you're so steep, the thing just...
Yeah, the whole thing just
went.
Yeah.
Why?
Went there twice. I jumped out quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about when it's when you're traveling like that? Is that a problem in terms of stability?
You can't have it too much in an angle when you travel with an ATV. Yeah.
So you got to be careful on that, but you get a kind of feeling for that after a while, and you know how to do it.
Yeah.
The advertisements on ATVs or the reports on ATVs say that they're very unstable, really. They're liable to tilt, and they're pretty dangerous for kids.
Yeah. Argo's here. I mean, if they... Around the village, it's good.
Yeah.
But out there, I don't think they would know how to drive one of those by themselves.
Yeah. I've been told you really can't move too fast with the Argos.
They got a pretty good speed. They got low speed, high speed.
Good power.
Uh-huh. Good power.
But I hear they're also very expensive.
Yeah. It's too much. That's why I buy myself a second hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I buy myself a second hand. During the summer, I just
buy parts there and there.
Okay, it's possible you can do that easily enough.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm buying another second hand again this year. This summer, yeah.
That's not a bad way to do it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could almost make it like a new Argo if you fix it up, change the bearings and all that, you know.
You're a pretty good mechanic?
Yeah.
You learned?
I learned that when my dad first had his 10-horse machine. Mm-hmm. He had a yellow bombardier machine. Mm-hmm. I learned watching them. Boy, he let me help him sometimes. Mm-hmm. And as the years go by like that, that's where I learned my way of building engines and stuff, you know. He just teach me this and that, the piston.
It's got to be difficult, though, when you're out there in the wintertime and something breaks down. You got to work with your bare hands.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
That's not a problem for you.
It's not a problem. Because I can't do nothing with my 12-ton, you know.
Yeah.
And treat it for a while, you know, put your gloves back on. Only if I got the part. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What do you usually carry with you when you go out with your snow machine?
Well, the main parts I carry for my snow machine is solenoid, the power pack, fan belt, and rollers for the undercarriage.
Okay, those are the things that are most vulnerable, are they?
Yeah, uh-huh. But if the engine breaks out there, you can't do nothing, you know, you just gotta leave it. Yeah. But those things.
How about the skis themselves?
The what?
The skis.
Skis too, yeah.
You carry skis?
Yeah, I do. On the long trip, I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. But before I leave here, on the short trip, I make sure they're okay.
Okay. Yeah. You reinforce the skis at all?
No, I buy them the way they are.
Okay. Do you know of anybody in this area that reinforces the skis?
They probably do, yeah.
I know at Wainwright I've known some people who reinforce it because of the problems again with the hard drifts.
Oh yeah.
And they'll weld some steel just on the curved part.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It seems to strengthen it anyway.
Yeah. I don't think they do that around here.
Yeah. But it happens when something goes wrong with the engine though and you don't really have any option. You don't have any choice.
Yeah. Just leave it.
Just leave it.
Or sit down half pound the way around, whatever.
How about with the ATV? Do you try to carry anything in that?
Yeah, they got more parts that break on the ATV. Like you could have a transmission problem.
Yeah.
But you would always carry extra gears for the inside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the electric starter. It's always going out, that's why you gotta carry a rope. If you don't have the rope, there's no way to start it up. You know?
You have an alternative, it gives you that option.
Yeah. And the little coil, you know, make the spark plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do those tires ever go flat?
Yes, they do.
Nobody's ever said anything about tires going flat on those things.
They go flat just like, you know, out in the rocks, way out there.
Yeah, but you got 8 wheels, does that mean you don't
have
to
fix 8 wheels,
them?
But they got rubber. Repair kit, you know.
Okay, so you can carry a pump then too.
Uh-huh, a pump, hand pump, or a plug-in that plugs in right to the Argo.
Have you ever run out of gas?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's not been a problem. That's a problem back
not with ATVs, snow machine I did before.
Yeah, along the coast, both the snow machines as well as the ATVs, that's a major problem. They run out of gas, not so much anything.
I always watch my gas before I leave.
Hmm.
I hate walking back.
And you never go further than you know you can get back on it.
Yeah. But if I gotta go way out there, if I be careful way out there, you know, I'll chance it.
Yeah.
I'll chance it, you know. And I readjust my carburetor if I have, like, so much gas, you know. I'll just adjust my carburetor. I'll make it home wise.
Yeah.
It's every time I buy something from somebody, you know, I get a rebuild it, I mean, recheck everything out. The gas valves and everything, you know.
Yeah. I've heard, I don't know whether it's meant as a criticism or what, but that part of the problem with the people who run snow machines is that they don't really do enough preventative maintenance. They just run them until something breaks down and they fix them.
There's a lot of people that do that. I mean, like if they're trapping or hunting.
Yeah.
And they just come back and take off the next day without checking the snow machine and they break down that thing. But
I check mine over every time I go for a long trip.
Okay, so that's not a problem with you. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. What do you call a long trip?
Like 100 miles, 150 miles, yeah.
Effie goes a lot with you?
Yeah, we used to go over to Kinlick area. Mm-hmm. Camping out there. Yeah.
Does she also know how to get out of that country?
I don't know if she learned that country.
Have you learned it?
Mm-hmm. Go with my dad now he's 12.
Okay, so you've been doing that a long time. Do you ever tell him that he's going the wrong way?
No, sometimes. He knows where to go, I just let him go.
Okay, you just assume he knows where he's going, huh?
We had a younger brother, and he was that small when he was first two.
Yeah.
And my dad started going out.
Did you ever do it yourself, though?
Setting traps?
Yeah.
No. He never let me touch his traps.
Did you drive the snow machine by yourself?
Yeah.
Did you go out by yourself?
I do sometimes.
Not that far, though.
Just a little ways, like into that mountain down there. Mm-hmm. Or down south, down to the trees and down.
So you can see things pretty well and you know pretty well where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been teaching a lot of young people. I mean, right now.
Yeah.
Because I've been traveling north, south, west, east.
What do you do? Do they come to you and say they'd like to go out with you, or do you try to find some people, or what?
They either follow me, you know, where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I tell them, this place here, you know, you can't go to. And they ask me why. I tell them, well, I'm going to go swimming. Let's go through there, you know. And I tell them, like December or January, it's coldest. That's the coldest part, you know.
Yeah.
And you fall in the water, you're frozen. It's dry, even though it's like 50 below out there. And I told you not to go through there, but you go through there anyway. It was a mistake, you know. But they'll follow through the water. I don't trust, even if it's real cold out like that, I don't trust rivers or stuff like that.
The rivers make you always feel a little uneasy.
Uh-huh. Only if I know it's safe. I've been through that before, and I know it's safe.
Yeah. That means the open areas are likely to be in the same places all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know where they are and you sort of go around them.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Do those rivers ever get, or creeks ever get in flood during the summertime or spring?
Yeah. Pretty soon they'll get flooded.
Okay, then you just don't travel at that time.
We use snow machines around May something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or key something, that something.
Do you do any more walking around? Instead of, but
no, I never, I don't walk no more.
Okay. How about when you're hunting, though? You can't come too close to the game, can you, or can you?
We do.
Do you run them down with a...
You know, we just watch which way they're going to go.
Yeah.
So we go that direction, but 5 miles, 4 miles out, you know.
You try to cut them off.
Yeah, they'll come to you. I mean, we know they're traveling
okay.
That way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is with a snow machine?
Or ATV, yeah.
ATV, either mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
When you come onto wolves, how about wolves?
Wolves, just follow the trail.
Try to run them down?
Yeah, just wait till you see them. If it's real fast track, you just keep following the trail.
Yeah.
Even 40, 50 miles if you have to, you know. Because you know you've got enough gas. And you see, oh, we'll miss a wolf.
And then they start running?
Uh-huh, they start running.
And they can't run fast enough, huh?
Some of them, the adults are like zoom, you know.
Yeah.
They go 50, 60 miles an hour. And them small ones, they're just learning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The parents probably know about snow machines more than they do. I mean, it's a danger to them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I come real close to some wolves, like maybe 2 feet away with my snow machine. 2 feet, 3 feet away. Just right beside them.
And what do you do?
Huh? Just watching for a while and, you know, go a little faster forward, take my gun off, shoot him.
Rifle?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't shoot them while you're traveling, do you?
I just stop.
You stop, and by that time they're exhausted?
Yeah, because they don't turn. I mean, they just follow the snow machine.
They're following essentially the same track.
Yeah, they just, one, like when I'm chasing wolf.
Yeah.
I let them stay right beside me, I mean, just watching them.
They don't even try to jump on you?
No. They just run. I don't know why they don't try to, you know.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't
it? Yeah. I wish I had a camera or, you know, something. It would show a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
They'd come this close to a wolf.
Do you ever hunt upslope? You got sheep upslope, and sometimes the caribou upslope during the summertime.
Uh-huh, yeah.
How do you handle those for approaching with the ATVs?
Well, there's ways you could get close enough or right up to them. I mean, to where you could pack them down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't... I try to get close to spawnable I can, but I don't want...
You don't want to have to walk too far.
Yeah, packing too far.
So you don't... some people have said they may, you know, park a mile or two from the animals and then stalk them.
Uh-huh.
You do anything like that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Because sometimes the noise spooks them.
But this time I just try real slow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting range. Yeah.
Do you ever use a boat?
A boat? No.
Never went out and outboard onto Chandler Lake or?
No.
Are there any people around here who do use a boat?
I don't. Oh, they got rubber boats here.
Rubber boats?
Yeah. They use that Chandler.
Hmm, okay. Fishing from the boat rather than from the land. From the,
there's some place that use boats.
Mm-hmm. When you're fishing at this time, you take your snow machine though out onto the ice itself, don't you?
Yeah, snow machine, yeah.
That ice is going to be good out there until, what, June?
Yeah, somewhere around
there. It's pretty thick ice, I guess.
Yeah. I think around, I mean, on the side will be open, though, you know. Just the sides of it.
It starts melting around the edge first?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How do you travel on lakes? When they've got, usually they'll have, for example, banks on one side or the other, and there'll be snow over there. Do you sort of stay close to the edge, or you go out toward the middle? Or
I stay on the edge myself when I'm traveling.
Why is that?
I don't know, I just don't trust too many lakes too.
Okay, you don't like the idea of being out too far?
Uh-huh. Because I know that Chandler Lake is dangerous any time of the year.
In what sense?
It's like the middle part, you know. It's always open.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like it's got ice, but it's so thin with ice, you know.
Okay. Are there springs that come up inside that are maybe warm or what?
I think so. It's just water.
I wasn't aware that it stayed open like that. Yeah.
It's open. I mean, not open, but, you know, ice, just ice right on top.
Yeah. How about the rivers when you go north, the Anaktuvuk, into the some of the other rivers? Do you tend to travel on the rivers themselves, on the ice, or really on the land between the rivers or alongside?
Only the places where I travel before I go to the river. But I watch real closely. You know, if I'm going to turn off, I watch real closely.
Are those rivers pretty much meandering, or do they go straight?
Some of them are straight, kind of curvy.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I guess that was part of the problem when you were going to New Ixit, that you were trying to take a shortcut. Somebody said something about a shortcut, where they crossed over and avoid some of the turns of the river. Or wasn't that the case?
Oh, we went straight from New Ixit. I mean, this guy from here, from up there, took me here.
Mm-hmm.
He went straight on to straight to that cabin there. And there's the guy I went with. I don't know, he lost the river, I guess. I would follow the river all day long, you know, if I see wolf tracks and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the wolves tend to stay in the river?
Yeah, they do sometimes on the river.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the young people that you take out. These are kids that just themselves, what, they're teenagers or what, in their 20s?
Yeah, about Yeah, teenagers.
They decide that they want to go out too, or they don't have parents to go out with, or they say, look.
No, they just want to come along, you know.
They want to come along and see what is you're doing.
Uh-huh, yeah. And I tell them about this and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go there, not to do this, okay. You know.
And then they go out on their own, yeah. Afterward, or they go back with you again, or?
Oh, they're probably, once they go out there, they'll probably see that same place where they've been to, and they just turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to avoid the danger.
Do you have a feeling that there's enough interest among the young people that's not going to be a problem in terms of, the young people learn enough about subsistence that they'll continue to do it?
I think there's more young guys that should have been taught about subsistence way of hunting, you know, I mean, hunting like me.
Yeah.
And that is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see more young people.
You have a sense they aren't being taught, or they don't have the interest, or
it's
what?
It's not that they're not, they've been taught before.
Yeah.
But as they grow up, like to be a teenager, they just lose interest and want to stay home, watch TV, go down the gym, you know, when they should be out there hunting, like.
They get the interest again later on?
I don't really know that, though.
Yeah.
I always keep that interest in it every day, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an important part of what, the Inupiat way is, and, that's part of what the reason for the study is, too, is the idea that there are a lot of kinds of things that you and your dad and the elders generally have learned that a lot of the young people don't know much about.
Mm-hmm.
And the mountains are, for some people, a whole lot easier to get around in, but, you know, you talk to people at Wainwright and Barrow, they don't like the mountains. They won't go to the mountains.
Yeah, like up north, we don't know what to do up north, you know.
Yeah.
And
the opposite here.
This way, they don't know what to do, you know.
You go out in the ice, and it's hell out in the ice,
uh-huh.
By contrast.
Yeah.
There's some places over there that you don't even know you're out on the ice, and all of a sudden, you have an uneasy feeling.
Yeah. I feel safer traveling in the mountains than way up north.
Yeah, than the flat. You know,
yeah.
Where you're at.
Uh-huh. What if I'm going to go, like, way up that way again, I'll have somebody follow me along.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I won't be way out there.
Well, you don't have to go up very often, though, to learn it well enough yourself, though.
No, I don't go this one place two times. Like, I go once and...
That's usually enough.
And later in the month or so, I go that way again, you know.
Yeah.
Learn it more myself.
Do you find yourself talking a lot about the places you've been? You sit down with the guys your own age, or with maybe your dad or some other people, and say, gee, we had a good day, this is where I went, and all these other things?
I hardly talk to my dad about that. I mean,
hmm.
He knows where I'm going. He just likes to know what I catch, you know.
How about other people? Friends your own age or a little younger?
Yeah, they sure feel like going out, you know, but they don't have no machine or anything,
okay.
Like that for them to sell.
That's been a part of the problem, isn't it? They're pretty expensive machines.
Uh-huh.
And especially when they have difficulty with them.
Yeah. There's a few young people that are trying to let them buy secondhand snow machines, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are they available?
They're available someplace, you know. Right here in the city.
How about search and rescue over there? I know they got a lot of machines over there.
Yeah.
But that's only for the people who go working for search and rescue.
I think the whole community is search and rescue. I mean.
Okay, so there's a problem sometimes, then people will call for certain people. Are there
people? No, they got a monitor like I got there.
Okay. And then people will show up.
Yeah.
And then
if it's way up, way up toward the Ahaliruk, the second airport, or Iqaluit, or west of here, there's the two old people show up down there and they talk to us about not going to there, this and that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So they tell you how to go into that country.
Uh-huh.
So you try to find the people who know those places better.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They always sending out people that really doesn't know that country, you know. Or
they are sending out people like that?
Yeah, they do.
That doesn't make much sense, does it?
Yeah, I kind of didn't like that idea, but, you know, let them go.
Yeah. But they send out a lot of machines, though, still.
Yeah, they send like two out.
Only two?
Yeah. And after so many hours, you know, like it become like 8-9 hours, mm-hmm. they get out, they send another couple of machines out.
After that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do that all day long until they find somebody, you know.
Okay. But do they make an effort to find people to go out who know that country? Or...
Yeah, the people they've been sending out, they've been pretty successful so far.
Okay. I haven't heard too much about people who are lost, you know, who end up dying when they're out there because they haven't been found. Sometimes it's not comfortable, but they usually get found or they find their way back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when you're searching out there, I mean, for somebody, you know,
yeah.
you kind of have a feeling, I don't know what happened to him, you know,
mm-hmm.
or go around the turn and you might see a snow machine there, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's feelings I have when I go out searching, wondering what to do, or is it a hurt person or a dead person there, you know, never know all those things.
Are you trained at all for first aid?
Kids first aid, no. Yeah. But not CPR. I never took that course, everything.
Okay. Well, CPR might
yeah.
be a different type of problem.
But if I run into that kind of situation, I'll probably know what to do, you know.
When you go out there, you take radios with you?
Yeah.
CBs?
Bum radios. No, they got these red radios, search and rescue radios.
Hand,
yeah.
yeah.
Uh-huh. Those.
What kind of range do they have?
They got a telephone on them, too. You could dial from way out there.
10 miles, 15 miles, 20?
Yeah, about 20 miles.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. But you still could use a phone, you know, even if it's 20-mile range.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like 30, 40 miles, you still could use that phone. And call right here and tell them you need this or he's all right, you know.
Yeah. How about when you go out in the summer with your ATVs? Do you take a CB with you?
Yeah. Every ATV that goes out has a CB.
Has a CB?
Yeah.
You sort of talk back and forth?
Talk
and,
back and forth, too, yeah. They want to know what's going on, how many caribou, all that.
What's the range on those?
They're long ways. They could reach from here. I mean, these CBs are on the house.
Yeah.
You could reach the Clavic Canada site. You could talk to Nurset, you could talk to Wainwright, Barrow.
Okay, there's no problem at all getting Chandler.
Yeah, there's no problem, yeah.
yeah.
But you got to go to the High Point for those, on the Argo.
Why can't you use those in the on your snow machines?
It's too cold.
Too cold to handle CBs, or...
Yeah, batteries a problem too. I mean, the batteries just too big to be carrying around.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
I wouldn't mind having one in my snow machine.
Yes, but I'm not aware, you're right, that they've got anything that's good for cold weather. Mm-hmm. Unless there was some way to keep it warm.
Yeah, it could have.
But there is heat coming out the vents on the side.
Yeah.
If they had that in the right place, that
But it'd be bouncing around too much.
Okay.
That's another thing, you know.
Well, it bounces around the ATV, doesn't it?
Not, I mean, soft, yeah, softly, but snow machine easy.
Yeah. You're in your 30s now. You've been traveling for about, what, 10 years, 15 years?
15 years, about.
Oh, that's a long time for somebody
yeah.
that young.
yeah.
What have you noticed as you've gotten, you know, year after year, things getting easier? And you find that you're learning more about the country, things getting harder? Tired or what?
Yeah, I'm learning more about the countryside out there. Something's always new for me, you know.
You still find things interesting?
Yeah, uh-huh. Still find something interesting out there. And I'm not done through with them yet.
You're not done exploring
yeah,
them
I'm
out
not
there
done
yet,
exploring,
huh?
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to travel inside the mountains, you know. See what's
You're flying over it, and it's pretty exciting country. There's an awful lot
yeah.
of mountain country
uh-huh.
out there.
Yeah.
How far have you gone into the mountains?
Who?
How, yeah.
I've been to North Fork, east side of here. I've been inside Peak Contact, but going way back there, where nobody's been before. I left TikTok, and I came out to the north end side.
Oh, they're about 100 plus miles away?
Yeah, I just went up and down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make it, try the other side. I mean, try the other way.
When you're doing that, you're also looking for game at the same time, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Your eyesight's pretty good?
Yeah.
Don't wear any glasses?
No glasses. No.
Use binoculars?
Yeah. Binoculars, I just look while I'm driving, you know.
For spotting animals?
I could see long ways with my own eyes, you know.
Okay. How about your hearing?
Hearing, not bad. Kind of lost it, maybe.
Okay. What the problem, shooting or noise from the machine or what?
Machine, shooting, hearing.
Is hearing important for the travel you do? Is it important that you have good hearing?
Yeah.
Why?
Never know how well. I mean, is that during the summer or?
Oh, anytime.
Or like in the summer, I have my ears open, you know, during the night, just in case grizzly bears or something like that. That's when you got to be a lively where you don't have no dog, you know.
Some people, well, I guess they take dogs when they're walking, but you can't take your dog when you got a machine, can you?
ADV day too, on an Argo.
Okay, there's enough space for that.
Mm-hmm. They let them run. Yeah. In this area.
Do you, have you ever shot any bear?
How many years ago did I shot a bear? That's quite a few years back. Besides, I got six steaks I haven't used.
You don't like bear meat?
No, I like bear. I mean, I'm looking for one right now again.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a good time to catch them right now. They're just coming out of their
tank. They're starting to come out.
Yeah.
Do they have enough fat on them, though?
Yeah, they got fat. They got a lot of fat in them, yeah. Just coming out of the den.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about moose? You do any moose hunting?
No. Never did catch me a moose. Never did want to shoot a moose.
Why not?
I don't know. There's one guy when I was about like 17 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, 16 years old, I think it was. There was one guy that catch a moose back inside. I knocked it off. You had to help him skin it, man. That thing is heavy.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
And it's down the willows.
And that was last time I went to skin a moose. Yeah.
You can't take the machine down into that where you usually get the moose, or can you?
Oh, they catch them right in the flat.
In the flat?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not the problem.
Right in the river.
It's just a lot of effort, though.
Mm-hmm. It's just too much.
Do you like the taste of the meat?
Yeah. When it's ready to cook.
Yeah. I guess you got enough variety over here. You got moose, you got bear, you got caribou. You get ptarmigan at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some birds occasionally. Ducks, geese.
Yeah,
they fly over.
Be here really quick.
You can do some fishing?
Fishing, yeah. Not ice fishing, no. I never ice fish.
How come?
I don't know. See, ice fish. I just prop her off and go somewhere else, you know. Tip around for animals. I don't know
like
why. I mean, I like fishing this way.
With a rod and reel.
Yeah.
But not just waiting there for the fish to come up. Okay. Well, it's good if you can do that.
Yeah.
Spoiled with that ice fishing.
You like that?
My dad spoiled
me. Yeah, we saw about pretty close to 4 to 5 moose yesterday.
Moose?
Yeah, up north. There was about 31 in one river. All laying around, just enjoying the sun.
And you just ignored them?
I just go drive by and they just look at me. Just ignored them.
There's
not a lot of calves with them.
Well, those wouldn't be so big. You could have, you know, gotten a calf or two. You would have had the mother to contend with.
Yeah.
Mother would have come chasing you.
I saw a lot of moose. Can't say one whole river.
Yeah.
And there was about another 20-something in that other river. Yeah. Didn't see that much moose in my entire life, I don't think.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm trying to think of what I haven't told you yet. Do you ever draw any maps?
Only maps?
Yeah.
Only when I'm traveling, where I really going to go. I mean, I do that piece of paper. Because I just write down, like...
You draw a map and you leave it with someone?
Yeah.
Okay. When you ask directions, do you usually have people tell you where it is with words, or do you like to draw your map?
I don't ask him for, I don't ask him to put it that, because I can't put him with idea.
Okay, you don't ask for directions for places, okay.
No.
So that's not a problem. You've always said you prefer pretty much traveling on your own, don't you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Rather than with others.
Rather than others, yeah.
But sometimes you travel with others.
Uh-huh, yeah, I do.
Coming behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll still teach them young guys.
Mm-hmm.
The high school, we took down Timberland too. I taught them how to set trap and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justice was your dad and mom were down there this last time.
Yeah. They've been doing that for a long time now.
Yeah, I know. Zach has gone out there and Doris as well.
Yeah. Pretty good place to live down there. We knew he was living down there.
Yeah. Could you imagine living in that kind of country yourself rather than in town?
I stay out like 3-4 days. All by myself out there, my trap line.
Could you imagine living out in the country, like some of the older people there? Do you like being in town? You work in school though, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine, never imagine getting a dog team together?
Nope, my lead dog right there.
No interest in dogs?
No, ever since snow machines come around, no. Dogs were out of my mind. My dad and them probably still had them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's some people who still talk in terms of dogs. They like the idea of dog racing.
Yeah, this guy here, he had pretty good dog. My landlord here had pretty good dog.
Is that Joshua?
Joshua, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he has interest in dogs.
Then he was just starting up one too.
As well?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he died.
Okay.
He had a good husky dogs and all that.
They had big dogs the last time I was here in 63, and they were good teams.
Mm-hmm. They were about one top team, maybe. Mm. That was good.
You came here before?
I was here in 63.
63? Huh. I was not even born yet.
Yeah. But Kenny was.
Mm-hmm. I was 8 years old.
Yeah. You're at the school.
Yeah.
You think it's a good life?
Yeah.
You're happy with it. Have you been outside at all?
No, only to Fairbanks.
You've been to Fairbanks?
Oh, far as Anchorage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have any problems traveling around in the cities?
No. I mean, stores there, bars, you know.
Yeah.
Not anywhere like that.
You don't especially like the cities?
No, not that long. When you get home.
Yeah.
Where it's quiet and clean air.
And where you know people.
Yeah.
And,
I've never been downstate here.
It's different down there, and some people have a hard time with it, some people have an easy time, but it's surprising how often people who have been up here come back up here too.
Mm-hmm.
You've been up to Barrow?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of that country?
Too big.
The city's big.
Yeah, city's big, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a sense that the flat country is sort of flat? You don't especially like traveling in that country?
I don't really like traveling in that
country. It's a little colder over there, too, and it's damper.
Uh-huh. No place to hide. When it's windy, blizzards and everything.
It's problematic in that sense, yeah.
Yep.
Which friend is this?
Danny Eagle.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him, I would be, well, just be staying home and watching TV, you know.
And what kind of influence did he have?
He's trapping. Okay. He's the one that taught me trapping, hunting, snaring.
He about your age or a little older?
He's older.
Okay.
He's over 40.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had to have the interest too, or you wouldn't have gone out with him.
Yeah, I have had to. That first day I went out, though, it was, that's what my life's going to be, hunter.
Okay. He dealt with you nicely.
Yeah.
He sort of explained things to you as he
as we go along,
yeah.
As we travel together, yeah. We travel together a lot of places where I've never been before.
Sort of like an older brother.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I try to teach my younger brother, you know, this and that. But
does he have interest?
No, not he's got a car, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He hunts caribou here and there, you know,
mm-hmm.
But he don't trap.
There aren't that many people who trap anymore. You know, Mark is one who traps,
mm-hmm.
And there aren't that many who have trap lines anymore. And Joshua traps.
Mm-hmm. I trap, but it doesn't know what's needed.
Okay, that many?
Yeah,
okay,
maybe more, good. I don't know.
Do you know much about what's happening with the this ATV ban in the park? Do you keep up with that at all?
No, I just listen to people.
Do what you have to.
Yeah.
There, it apparently has not been resolved yet in terms of what they're going to be doing. But, they're trying to open it up a little bit and you know, recognize the value for subsistence of the ATVs.
Yeah, I think we were right. We got there all our right. We got rights to travel through that. The south side of town here, even if it's parkland, you know, you have that right,
yeah.
To go to your own land or your, you know.
Yeah, even beyond the corridors.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's the problem. There are corridors, but there are difficulties in getting out beyond that. And if you're going
uh-huh.
to pack game, then you have to be able to go beyond the corridors.
Yeah, unless you make it, you know, unless you make a agreement or make a trail, I mean, uncertain trail to your own lot. Where you were born.
Yeah. Do you have an allotment out there?
No, my dad does.
Your dad does. Are you able to get one?
Yeah, I should, yeah. He's got him. My dad's got him. I just told him nothing wrong with it.
Okay. I don't even know whether they have been approved yet by the Park Service. They have to be approved yet.
No, they were approved already when they first set foot on that land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our parents didn't win. They got that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if the park say you can't go in there, you can't go in there. Otherwise, you lose your ADV, you know.
It's sort of interesting. When you have an allotment, you use it, you put a cabin up.
Mm-hmm. No, it got markers on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But generally, the idea is that what would you use an allotment for?
Really, I guess we're looking for in the near future.
Okay, what would they do in the future?
I mean, they probably would have put a road through there, over to that allotment there, you know?
Yeah.
Use this as a, you know, like where you could go with groceries and stuff like that.
Okay, use it as, put up a cabin there maybe?
Yeah, uh-huh. They still could do that, I guess.
They do a lot of that in Wainwright area and also in Barrow. They've got their allotments along the rivers. And for some that's good, they become sort of like vacation places,
mm-hmm.
And for others, they sort of keep you from traveling in the ways, you know, you talk about the way you travel here, you travel there, you travel
mm-hmm.
all around, and it's nice to be able to be flexible like that.
Yeah.
Although I think also when they have allotments, how many acres are there in an allotment?
I don't know, it's quite a bit.
Like 160 acres maybe?
Yeah.
So they'll have 40 here, and 40 there, and 40
yeah,
there, and
uh-huh.
40 different places.
Uh-huh.
Or
one
right.
hole.
Or in one hole case,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to have. There aren't many places where you can still get the land like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get your drive out to the land. I mean, there are a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty good. But Park Service is just kind of, I guess we'll wait on that, see what goes
yeah.
on.
Well, summertime you're going to be going out then, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're working now.
I'm working, yeah.
Is that going to be for a while, or?
Till December, I think.
Okay.
But I got weekends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for working now is a lot of things. You're getting money, but you need the money for a lot of kinds of things, don't you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You're renting the house?
Yes.
Okay. You got to pay fuel bills.
Fuel bills, yeah. Electricity bill.
Hmm. You got your own machines, you paying off on those, or?
No, I only paid mine off.
They're all paid off?
Second-hand
right?
one, yeah.
Okay.
Got me 5 wolves already with it.
I remember you got some in February.
Yeah. The next day I got me wolves.
You got some more?
Mm-hmm. I bought me a second-hand Yamaha from from Johnny a few years back, and I got two wolves that next day.
Uh-huh.
I got more money back.
It pays off.
Yeah.
It pays off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, sounds like a good life.
Yeah. I'll continue doing that till I'm gone from this place, I guess.
Until he's 65 and ready to retire.
Yeah, he gave me a wheel, not a wheelchair, but a rocking chair. That
I'll tell
I'll
you
pass it down to the young people, though. I mean, my way of trapping and hunting, yeah. You know, I'll pass it down to everyone to listen. There's young guys that ask me questions like, you know, how do you get over there, or how do you get over there?
They're curious themselves.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind taking them out in my sled or snow machine.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Let me tell you, by the way, at Wainwright, they've got some people over there who are retired, and they just love it because they spend time out. They go out for long periods of time,
mm-hmm.
and they go exploring. And it's just great. You know, they've worked all their lives. And
that's how my dad is. He's retired, you know. He feels better out there than being in the school all day long, you know.
Yeah.
He's been in the big teacher for so many years.
Yeah.
Way back before he was about 16, 17.
Mm-hmm. Was that hard for you, as being a Nupiat teacher at school?
I was never in his class.
You were never in his class?
No.
You escaped that, huh?
Yeah.
Is that because you already knew it?
Huh?
You already knew it? Or?
No, it's not that I never knew it. I just maybe I had no interest then.
Yeah, okay. In other words, there's hope for those people who don't have interest now. It may come later, huh?
Yeah.
They may get to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see yourself as a Nupiat teacher sometime?
Yeah, I can see myself in there, man. I would probably teach all those kids. I mean, just put the books aside, you know.
I have a feeling you'd probably be a good teacher. You sound like you'd be a good teacher.
I would put the books aside. Say, just